What's the one change we can make to our everyday lives, the single conscious decision that will ground us in the present moment and put us on the path of happiness? Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. I hope you're happy. I hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal Sean, back once again with another warming bowl of spiritual soup. Thank you to everyone who entered the competition. We have a winner. Congratulations to Anurag from Florida, who, like many of you, asked for a one-to-one chat. If you entered and you didn't win, don't worry. I'm going to set up a little guided meditation and QA session for those who entered. I'm going to record a guided meditation for healthcare workers and put it on the podcast, as a couple of people asked for it. So I'm behind in my emails at the moment, but I hope to reply to everyone in the next couple of days. If you're saying to yourself, damn, Sean, I wish I'd entered, don't worry, I'm starting a new competition today. Listen to Mindfulness for Gamers, recommend it to 5 people you know, and send them the link by email or message or carrier pigeon. The prize is the same, you can pick whatever you want within reason, and we'll have a nice Zoom call for everyone who enters. So you get a prize either way. Feel free to pause the podcast and enter now. There's no time like the present. But today I wanted to talk about how we can change our life so that we can maximize our happiness. The theme for this year is interbeing, which ironically I've lost touch with slightly, and it's often a neglected aspect of mindfulness, but it's a hugely important concept to understand, as it's the framework through which we, as mindful travelers, view reality if we're practicing right view. It's very easy for us to get caught up in doing and lose touch with what makes our lives real, which is the connections that we have with the world around us. Many people throughout history have got caught up in doing and lost touch with reality. King Ludwig II decided he didn't want to be king anymore and spent all of his time building ludicrously ornate castles across Bavaria, to the point where his advisors had him declared insane and removed from the throne. These castles are now Bavaria's top tourist attractions and well worth googling, but instead of gratitude, he's remembered as the fairy tale king or mad King Ludwig, which seems a little bit harsh for having an unhealthy passion for architecture. Nikola Tesla was obsessed with his experiments, neglecting his own health, relationships, and social interactions, particularly with his neighbours. Residents that lived near his house often said that he had an earthquake machine that could shake the entire block, which was actually a high-frequency oscillator. Tesla once invited Mark Twain, the famous writer, to his lab, and made him stand on a platform that was connected to it, and the platform shook so hard that Twain had to run for Tesla's toilet to answer nature's technologically accelerated call. And of course, the classic example from fiction is Gollum, the semi-tragic, semi-comedic, semi-terrifying, jewellery-loving 600-year-old hobbit from Lord of the Rings. Obsessed with his precious ring, he spirals into a solitary existence, consumed by his desire and disconnected from the world around him. He's transformed by his attachment to the ring and loses any interest in relationships or being connected to the world beyond eating raw fish. Now, I feel like kind of a hypocrite and could probably add myself to the list. The fact that I'm hosting 2 mindfulness podcasts rather than simply enjoying my practice speaks to the way that I tend to be swept away whenever I find something that resonates with me, resulting in sometimes getting lost in the doing. I've recently started playing chess, and the Game of Kings, as it's sometimes called, has kind of taken over my life. If you want to connect and play me, my username is peacestepping, all one word, on chess.com. I could play the occasional game and enjoy it, regardless of winning or losing, but that's not how I roll. Since I started playing a month ago, I've played game after game, reviewing each one, watching YouTube videos and openings, reading up on tactics and strategy. I fell into a murky chess hole and had to take a bit of a step back. And no doubt some of you might be listening, thinking, what's a big problem? I like building castles, making earthquake machines, and playing chess as much as the next guy. Well, our objects of disconnection don't have to be as grand as those. rather than it being one big thing that ticks over your life, it could be lots of smaller things like a difficult week in work, or you're worried about a family member. It could be social media or your finances. We all have our thing that captures us. Like when you line up Rook, Queen, Rook on a single file for a battery on Black's King. Sorry, I'll stop talking about chess. It's really important to understand why this affects our mental health. We can only be happy when we're grounded in the here and now. And you've heard me say that many times before. But if we stop and think about what that actually means for a moment, we can gain insight into our own liberation from suffering. Of course, we can pour our awareness into our breath, our body, our mind, our actions, our environment. And with training, we can spend extended periods there helping us to feel calm and happy. But if we want to ground ourselves in the here and now, what we need is to rejoin the interconnected nature of the world. And that sounds kind of hippy-dippy, but it's a very practical and actionable idea. The philosopher Alan Watts said, "What you basically are, deep, deep down, far, far in, is the fabric and structure of existence itself." And we sometimes make the mistake of seeing ourselves as something separate from the universe, like someone locked away in a house, peering through a window. But we're really not. We breathe the oxygen produced by trees. We walk on the earth. We eat the food grown with the sun and the rain. There is no dividing line. We are the earth, and the earth is us. I am you, and you are me. Your suffering is my suffering. Each action we take has a ripple effect across the earth because we are connected, which implies that the choices that we make in every moment matter, not just for other people, but for ourselves as well. If we disconnect ourselves from the world because we just have to get this thing sorted, we're disconnecting ourselves from the here and now. And the answer is simple. We have to put away the chess set, our laptop, our phone, our work, our obsession, and experience the connected nature of the world again. There's a phrase that people use on the internet for when people are taking online culture too seriously, which is touch grass, meaning that you should get off the internet and spend some time outside in nature. It's a very succinct, if brutal, way of reminding people to rejoin the world. If you shift your focus, even just for a while, from whatever is taken over your life in this moment to practice interbeing, it will have a huge effect on your well-being. And to achieve this, we simply need to see the connections, join the dots, let go of the dividing line between ourselves and the world, ourselves and reality, calm ourselves, and contemplate the fabric of reality around you. Sounds hard, but it's really easy. And you might want to go outside for the next bit where we practice that. So, let's say I'm sitting by the canal after going for a run. I've just broken the world record for 5,000 metres, but that's barely registered with me. I've got very little attachment to the fact that I'm now the fastest man on Earth. The sun is shining, or more likely sitting behind a cloud. It is England. That's fine. I close my eyes. I focus on the connections around me. The sound of the water in the canal, seeing the home it provides for the ducks and the fish and the insects, the sun providing the plants with energy, the earth providing them with nutrients, the people walking past, seeing them in me and myself in them, seeing their suffering and their joy, breathing the air, taking in the oxygen, and feeling gratitude to the trees for making it available to me. And then breathing out, letting go of the carbon dioxide, which the trees will use to grow. You can focus on just this relationship between you and the trees to start to feel connected, part of the fabric, real. So I could go on and on, but you understand what I'm getting at. Research shows that spending time in nature is good for our well-being. And I believe it's because we see our place in the world and feel our connection to the earth and other people. It's hardwired into us. It's part of who we are. And I know it can be hard to let go of whatever is dominating our attention sometimes. For example, if a family member is sick, we might feel like we're being selfish somehow by spending time feeling our connection to the world. But it's really important to practice interbeing regularly and spend time grounding ourselves. If someone needs you today, if they're depending on you, they'll be better served by experiencing your calmness, your peace. So, let's spend some time working on our calmness and our peace with a guided meditation on interbeing. So if you want to take a moment to get yourself comfortable into a nice, relaxed, upright seating position, we start with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. And we're going to start, as we always do, by applying our beginner's mind to our posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap. And just allowing a gentle smile to emerge in your face as we enjoy the stability of our posture. And expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body, noticing where you feel warm or cold, noticing where you feel tense or relaxed, becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin, and the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. Shifting that spotlight of awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises, and that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be an interconnected thought about today, or it could be a regretful thought about yesterday. Just sitting with each thought for a moment, allowing it to leave. And gently, without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness in the breath, noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in, warmer on the way out. Breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing out. I know I am breathing out. In. Out. Breathing in, my breath grows deep. Breathing out, my breath goes slow. Deep, slow. Breathing in, I see the tree's connection to my in-breath. Breathing out, I see the tree's connection to my out-breath. Tree's connection to in-breath, tree's connection to out-breath. Breathing in, I see myself in the clouds. Breathing out, I see the clouds in me. Myself in the clouds in me. Breathing in, I see myself in the sun. Breathing out, I see the sun in me. Myself in the sun in me. breathing in, I see myself in the collective consciousness. Breathing out, I see the collective consciousness in me, myself in the collective consciousness, collective consciousness in me. Breathing in, I establish myself in the present moment. Breathing out, I realize it is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. as we reach the end of the guided meditation, just taking a moment or two to notice any changes in your body, areas of relaxation, any areas of tension, taking a moment to stretch those if you need to. Noticing any changes in your mind. If you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And for the mindfulness homework this week, I'm going to keep it really simple. So I want you to take some breaks from whatever is dominating your attention this week and spend some time being aware of the connections between you and the people and the environment around you. So you can simply sit outside. You can maybe set a timer on your phone to let you know when to stop and contemplate those connections. And of course, you can use the guided meditation from this week. And also, don't forget to enter the competition. The last one was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed getting emails from you guys chatting to you. So please do enter it. You've got a great chance of winning. We only had 13 entries last time. It'll be open for the next few weeks. So just give me a shout. And maybe happy. Maybe peaceful. And may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slana, will ya? And I'll see you next time.
Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've been